Everyone, it is Ain't That Some Shit, episode 38, recording on February 9th, year of our Lord 2024, with Emma. How's it going, people? I know it's been a while. How's the new year treating you? Goodness, January seemed to last forever, huh? I kept seeing memes like, it's the sixth week of January and I can't take it. It was dragging for quite a bit. Anyways, let's jump into some stories here because, my God, I have been saying, like, this is fucking wild for the past couple days. So, let's talk about our Commander-in-Chief, Biden. I can't even think of a good spin to put on his name. Old Slow Joe. Okay. So, when the government needs to investigate itself, it appoints a special counsel of members who are not directly affiliated with whatever's going down. Okay? People who are not indicted, involved, they're not suspected to have any involvement. So, an investigation was led by Special Counsel Robert Hur, H-U-R, Trump-era U.S. attorney, who was appointed by Attorney General Merrick Garland, who is the presiding attorney general now. So, okay, great. This guy had Trump ties, but he was appointed by the attorney general that was appointed by Biden. So it's like, okay, all right, a little removal there. We'll let it slide for now. Special counsel investigated President Joe Biden's handling of classified material. The classified material that they found in his garage next to his Corvette, you know, those classified documents that were declassified. And the report states, our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials under his vice presidency, that was under Obama, when he was a private citizen. Okay. Report continues, these materials included marked classified documents about military and foreign policy in Afghanistan, and notebooks containing Mr. Biden's handwritten entries about issues of national security and foreign policy implicating sensitive intelligence sources and methods. FBI agents recovered these materials from the garage, offices, and basement den in Mr. Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. The report also said that marked classified documents about Afghanistan, which included classification markings that said, like, top secret, sensitive, compartmented information level. You know, like you see in the movies, a big red fucking stamp, top secret. Yeah. Were found in his garage in Delaware. Notebooks containing classified information were discovered in his basement den. And some of the classified documents that were found at the Biden Penn Center were intelligence assessments on Iran and were related to the Obama administration's Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, otherwise known as the Iran nuclear deal. That's all really sensitive information that he just had in his personal possession, not under lock and key, in a fucking garage. In a basement, if there was an intruder who broke into his home looking for valuables, they could sell that shit to the highest bidder. This is wild, this fucking... Classified documents were also found at the University of Delaware, where Biden was storing the records from his time in the U.S. Senate that appeared to be related to Europe, and his time on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The report argued that prosecutors did not believe the evidence was sufficient to charge Biden because jurors would find reasonable doubt for potentially several reasons ranging from his authority to keep classified documents in his home. So they don't want to bring this to court because the jury may think, well, he has a right to do this. He has a right to do this, and that they might think that because of his serious memory issues, he may have committed this and just not remembered. So they don't want to bring it to court because he is unfit to stand trial based upon the claim of his serious memory issues. But he's fine to lead a country, right? He's perfectly fine to be commander. Like, seriously, this is why this show is titled Ain't That Some Shit, because what the fuck? I'm not understanding how... how you can look over the evidence, come to that conclusion, and be like, yeah, but it's fine. He has access to the nuclear codes. He has access to other sensitive information. He's making decisions left and right about how our country is governed. Or, you know, what I suspect, that he's a puppet, that his wife has him up there because she's the one pulling the strings along with everyone else who has a vested interest in whatever policies they enforce using his name, which is disgusting. But they need a fall guy. They need someone to blame it on. They need... Anyways. In 2017, Biden had... Hold on. I'll just read the quote. The report says in its executive summary, Mr. Biden's memory was significantly limited both during his recorded interviews with the ghostwriter in 2017 and his interview with our office in 2023. It continues to say, we have also considered that, at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview, as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with poor memory. Really? Really? All right, so that was released a few days ago. And some reporters brought it up to Biden during a press conference that he called for. He called for this press conference to speak to the report. Why? I don't know, but whatever. But he exploded. He got so angry. Let's discuss it. President Joe Biden erupted in anger during a press conference that he called at the last minute on Thursday night, Thursday being the 8th, to address the special counsel's report on the criminal investigation into his handling of classified material. In the report, which prosecutors would not file criminal charges because it was noted that he had some serious memory issues during his interview with investigators. Like, that's, yeah, that whole thing all wrapped up together. He snapped at reporters for asking him about his mental fitness. Even though 76% of Americans have said that his mental and physical fitness were a concern. When asked about the voters' concern, he snapped. He said, that is your judgment. You know, let me find you the clip. He's like, that is your judgment, that's not the judgment of the press, buddy. Okay, all right. Let me make sure my sound is up, and let's play this for you. Okay, so a reporter starts off with saying, the American people have been watching, they've expressed concerns about your age. It is loading. I apologize for the delay. Eventually.
For months, when you were asked about your age, you would respond with the words, watch me. Won't any American people have been watching, and they have expressed concerns about your age.
That is your judgment.
They express concerns about your mental acuity. They say that you are too old. Mr. President, in December, you told me that you believe there are many other Democrats who could defeat Donald Trump. So why does it have to be you now? What is your answer to that question?
I'm the most qualified person in this country to be President of the United States and finish the job I started.
Really? You're the most qualified person. You sure, buddy? You sure? Because I don't think so. I don't think so. And then Biden says, on the topic of Israel versus Hamas war, he completely flubbed it. Let me back up. Okay, so when discussing Israel's war with Hamas, he mixed up the world leaders, saying that the president of Mexico, El Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material in. Abdel Fattah el-Sisi is not the president of Mexico. He is the president of Egypt. So let's check this out, shall we?
The conduct of the response in the Gaza Strip has been over the top. I think that, as you know, initially, the president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to get in. I talked to him. I convinced him to open the gate. I talked to Bibi to open the gate on the Israeli side.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, we heard it. He spoke to Mexico and got the humanitarian aid for Gaza. Yeah, two vastly different parts of the world. All right, and then he forgot the name of the church where his late son, Bo Biden, got the rosary that the president now wears every day. I'm not sure about this one. It's another gaffe. It's another flub in his memory. I'm going to play it super quick just so that, you know, we got the clip.
I wear, since the day he died, every single day, the rosary he got from Our Lady of... Every Memorial Day, we hold a service remembering him, attending by friends and family and the people who loved him. I wear, since the...
You guys heard that? From the Lady of... And he just stops. From the Lady of nada, nothing, just drops off completely. Okay, all right, I mean, it's funny, it's not funny, it's funny and it's not funny, it's hella fucked up, but my God. So yeah, he snaps at reporters saying that it's their judgment, it's not the press's judgment, that, you know, he's completely fit, he can handle, he's the most qualified for the job, he should serve out his term and continue the job he started. Buddy, like, the Adderall has worn off, or the meth, or whatever they give him to liven him up during these press conferences. He's just coming off really fucking cranky. And that's typical, I'm sorry to say, with dementia patients. They do snap when they get into a rut and they cannot come up with the right answer or whatever, or they want to connect some thoughts and the links are just not there. I'm sure you do too. Everyone does. When they're like, damn, it's on the tip of my tongue, I can't remember. Well, imagine that, and people are attributing that to your age. Like, that's... I can't... I would be livid. I would be like, I'm not going to talk to anyone. Fuck that. But he can't. He's the president. Oh, it's going to be a wild time. And elections... The election's rolling. Trump still has a significant lead. Everyone has dropped out except for Nikki Haley, and she lost in Nevada, and Nevada didn't even put, like, Trump on the ballot. They just put none of these candidates. She lost to none of these candidates. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. She got 31% of the vote, and 63% went for none of these candidates. How you lose to no one? Someone picked an empty ballot over you. And she has the nerve to be like, that was a scam. It was rigged from the start. Trump rigged it. Careful, Nikki. Careful. I mean, Trump's in hot water for election denial. What would happen if we treated everyone fairly and you got some of the brunt? Oh. Seriously, a quote from her is like, and we didn't even count Nevada. There, that wasn't anything we were looking at. Yeah, okay, you want to discredit the state because you lost. We knew it was rigged from the start. Our focus is on South Carolina, Michigan, and Super Tuesday. So if you look what we did in Iowa and you look what we did in New Hampshire, we're continuing to grow. Yo, fucking delusional. So delusional. Okay, Nikki. All right. Whatever. She continues. But look what happened this week. She continued. Here you have Republicans lost a major vote on the border. Republicans lost a major vote on Israel. Donald Trump was found that he will not have immunity in all of these court cases coming up. And the RNC chairs fired. Yeah, Ronna McDaniel. Crap. What's the name of the polygamist dude from Utah? Republican candidate. Damn, I can't think of his name. But he's related to her. Oh, it's yep, I'm getting that Biden dementia. I curse myself. Romney. There we go. She is related to Romney. Okay. Thank goodness. Got it. All right. So yeah, she's fired, and all of this chaos is happening around us, and Donald Trump's fingerprints are on every bit of it. We can't continue as the Republican Party to go forward with this chaos. You don't defeat Democrat chaos with Republican chaos. That's why we've got to see a change. Yeah, you're not the change, Nikki. You're not. She's a foreign UN ambassador. She did some pretty good things in the UN, but I'm highly convinced that her vested interest is not that of America. It's whoever's paying her. And she doesn't deal well under pressure. She doesn't handle unscripted questions easily, just like Biden, which is sketchy as fuck to me, but you're free to think whatever you want of it. All right, let's bring up the trans issue. Because that has bled into our government and into our health system. So, a review of 60 studies of the mental health of transgender identifying youth found that there is no long-term evidence that current gender-affirming medication and surgical protocols benefit their mental well-being. According to a group representing pediatricians. The American College of Pediatricians issued a position statement on Wednesday, on the 7th, opposing the gender transitioning of youth based on the literature review. Now, I've conducted literature review before for my master's. It's when you do a broad search and then you start narrowing it down to find exactly how many published studies and articles support or contradict whatever your research question is, whatever your hypothesis is. So first you would start out, let's say, with children who have difficulty going through puberty. Let's say that. And then treatments approved for this. And then the prognosis of the instability, the long-term effects, of whatever they're going through and how it's being resolved. And then if you come to a treatment, that's your specific question. Let's say your specific question is, this treatment will lead to the resolution or the improvement of the quality of life of these children. That's the specific one. So you start off very broad and you narrow it down until you find an answer for that specific question, and then you find out how many articles support it. And good practice, typically you want about at least 30, right? You want at least 30 studies supporting what you believe or contradicting it, and then you can start exploring alternate methods, alternate research questions. It's a good process for when you're trying to do a quality improvement project. When you see a problem, you're like, maybe this can be done differently, but let's see how much has been done before. Where are the gaps in knowledge? Okay, where are there gaps, holes in the method, holes in the background information that need more explaining, or what has been proven to work, and can I add to that? Can I add to that body of knowledge with my study? Okay. So they did a literature review. And this comes after a watchdog group filed a scientific integrity complaint against the Department of Health and Human Services official Rachel Levine, formerly Richard Levine, I believe his name is, for claiming there is no argument among medical professionals regarding the value and the importance of gender-affirming care. So, let's recap it. This literature review came into play when a group filed a scientific integrity complaint against the head of Health and Human Services, formerly Richard, now Rachel Transgender Levine, who made the statement, there is no argument among medical professionals that this is necessary. That is a huge claim to say that every medical professional, every practitioner, every nurse practitioner, every doctor, every physician's assistant are all on board, every therapist, every psychologist, every psychiatrist is on board because of the overwhelming amount of data supporting gender-affirming care. That is huge. Just, you know, to quote a Jedi, only the Sith deal in absolutes. Fucking Sith Levine, let me tell you. The Department of Health and Human Services were only able to provide 2 pages to support the idea that gender transitioning of children was necessary. 2 pages. 2 pages, that's barely a study. 2 pages. While we're cutting off genitalia of kids, while we're putting them on hormone and puberty blockers that are not reversible, that fuck them up, okay, that mess with their endocrine system, that mess with their hormones, that can make them sterile later in life. There's an example, there's this girl named Chloe Cole. She had a double mastectomy. She had both breasts removed. She was 16. She still has her uterus, so she can give birth to a baby, but she can't breastfeed the child if she ever gets to that point of finding someone who's okay with all the stuff that she's been through. I mean, that's a lot to ask of a partner. Sorry for the tangent, but dating is getting harder. Now imagine if you were one of the kids whose parents was like, oh, you're going through puberty, it's so difficult. Maybe you were meant to be a different gender. Let's saddle you up with a doctor who's willing to put you on hormones, cut off your junk, or for an example of Jazz Jennings, create a whole new vagina in you that you have to dilate every day with a speculum. It looks like a pear. You crank it and it opens it up. Painful. Any women who are listening, if you ever got a pap smear, it's that. Doing that to yourself. Every day. For what? For what? To find out later in life that you didn't really need it, you were just a little weird. Maybe you were on the spectrum. Maybe you're just a kid who liked to play with the other toys for a little bit, and then once you're out of puberty, you can be a tomboy. You could be a lesbian. Doesn't matter. There was no need to chemically castrate a child before they even understand or even know how to spell castrate. Whatever. Okay, continue. Levine, man who believes he's a woman, dodged the question by saying that accredited male professional groups agree that gender-affirming care is medically necessary. Yeah, okay. The American College of Pediatricians is a small group of pediatricians. Many of them are conservative. It's just the name of the game. And that formed in part due to dismay over the way larger pediatrics group who is on board with this shit. The American Association of Pediatrics is on board. And they pass activist statements that they use to represent, to use as if they represent the views of all pediatricians. So two separate groups. The American College of Pediatricians is the one who pushed for this literature review and discovered that only two pages support this. And the American Association of Pediatrics is the one that is just rubber stamping all this nonsense and being like, yeah, no, it's great. Puberty's so awful. We should just inject the kids with estrogen or testosterone or whatever, or Lupron, which is a medication used to chemically castrate. They no longer give it to pedophiles, but they do give it to kids who want to transition. Why? I don't know. They give it to Chloe Cole. So if you want to look that up, Cole, C-O-L-E, she discusses it. This is a fucking war crime. Okay? Two pages. There's not enough data to support this. It's happening at a wider scale. These children are being experimented on presently to get that long-term data, to get that long-term evidence. Because this wasn't done in the past. You just let the kid grow up, you call them a transvestite or a crossdresser or whatever. They either grow out of it or they adopt a new sexual orientation. What's the issue with being gay? What's the issue with being lesbian? Okay, I personally do not believe that the T in LGBT should be lumped in with the rest. Because LGB is sexual orientation. T is this crazy identifying shit that it's just rebranded gender dysphoria. According to the DSM-5, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual used by mental health practitioners to diagnose people with whatever is wrong with their brain, okay, from schizophrenia to OCD to anxiety to bipolar, all that stuff, gender dysphoria is in there. That's what this is. It is being unhappy in the gender you're born with, and the preliminary care is counseling, not drugs, not surgery. It's talking to the fucking person, especially if they're going through puberty where their hormones are out of whack. Think back. I'm sure many of you guys are adults. Think back to when you went through puberty. It wasn't fun. It wasn't enjoyable. I hated it. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure if I was meant to be a boy. I mean, at the time it wasn't discussed, but I was leaning towards, like, I'm pretty masculine. I'm not super dainty. I have a medium build. I have wide shoulders. It is what it is. I did have a low voice also. So I wanted to be more feminine, all that stuff. And that came in time. That came with me getting out of that awkward puberty phase when I was built like a fucking cereal box. I had no curves as a teen whatsoever. I was a skinny fat. It sucked. Clothes didn't fit right. I longed to be, you know, delicate and dainty and all that stuff. And aside from being pregnant, I usually am as an adult. So, if you have kids, if you know a teenager going through this or whatever, talk to them. Let them know that they'll be okay. Puberty passes. There's no need to go for experimental treatments that have more risks than benefits. I read a story. I don't have it up now, but you might be able to look it up. Maybe I can look it up. There was a child who went through these puberty blocking things. Okay, received the puberty blocking medications. And as a result, they got osteoporosis. Their bones became brittle, and the child suffered a fracture. And it's a known risk that when you put your kid on this, they are at risk of having osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is an elderly person disease. Women get it once they no longer produce estrogen and they pass through menopause. Okay, and they're not able to fortify their bones anymore. That's fucking terrible. A child. Child going through that. Teenagers who identify as transgender taking puberty blocker drugs are at increased risk of osteoporosis. Alright, I can't find the exact article. If I do, I will put it aside. It stunts the bone growth of children. It puts them at risk for blood clots as well. Like, puberty doesn't do that to you. You get a little hairy, you get some acne, you develop, you know, your balls drop and you get boobs, whatever. It's okay. It's normal. You spend the majority of your life as an adult more than you do a child, and the transition is what it is. It's a fact of life. It'll be okay. Alright. I fucking hope they do something about Richard Levine, the fucking head of the Department of Health and Human, because fuck that, dude. Okay. There was a released email because they, hold on. Let me go back. Assistant Secretary for the Health Human Services, Richard Levine, who in his 50s began using the name Rachel Levine, was asked a series of questions by Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, asking why Levine, as a medical professional, wouldn't reject the idea of mutilating genitals of minors in the name of gender-affirming care. Levine evades the question multiple times and said that he is more than happy to stop by Paul's office at some later date to explain the complex science behind mutilating children. Yeah. All right. Anyways. let's see. Emails unearthed by Megan Brock show that in 2017, when Levine was Secretary of Health in Pennsylvania, Levine was looking for data to justify gender-affirming care back in 2017, 7 years ago. Levine wrote to Nadia Downshin. Nadia is spelled N-A-D as in David, I-A. Downshin, D as in David, O-W-S-C-H-E-N as in Nancy. The co-founder of the Gender Clinic at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Levine said that he was seeking information concerning the possibility of gender confirmation surgery for young people under 18 years of age. Children. Levine added in the email, this could include top surgery for trans young men and top and bottom surgery for trans young women, meaning to cut off the breasts of girls so that they can present as boys, or cutting off the penis and creating a vagina and adding breasts to boys that want to present as girls. The question was, is there any literature to support this protocol? Please let me know if you have any references. Daoshin responded, hi, I'm not aware of any existing literature, but it is certainly happening. I think we've had more than 10 patients who've had chest surgery under 18, as young as 15, and one 17-year-old who had bottom surgery. So that was enough to say that all experts agree that this is what should happen. That was only 7 years ago. That's not sufficient to be determined as long-term data that gender-affirming care is medically necessary. No, they're mutilating children. Bottom line. All right. Next topic. The border. Oh, I don't know what to say. I'm sure you guys are seeing it everywhere. The border is being flooded. No one knows what to do. People are just being caught and released. They're given a cell phone and they're like, hey, when this rings, please answer and show up to court so that we can fully process you. And they're not going to. And all of them adamantly state that they will vote for Biden in the coming election. How does that not seem really fucking suspicious to you, right? That's some fucking shit. Because the rest of the country thinks Biden is on his last leg. So now we flooded the country with a bunch of illegal immigrants that we are giving rights to, we being the government, giving prepaid debit cards so that they can buy the food that they want to eat. Colorado's safety net, hospitals have a financial safety net. They have money set aside for the uninsured who show up and need emergency care and cannot pay. Colorado, Denver specifically, their safety net is maxed out. They've had way too many illegal immigrants show up to their hospitals requesting care. They can't pay because they don't have a job. They have government-based insurance, so the hospital has to eat the cost. And they can't do it anymore. So then when you have an uninsured family member who needs emergency care, they're going to get that big bill. They're going to get debt collectors calling them left and right to try and make them pay for something that, you know, should typically be covered because they're low income or whatever. Yep. U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owen said during an interview this week that in his nearly 30 years serving in the agency, the border has never been secure. That's great. That's wonderful. So, I don't know. We have people at the front line saying that it's never been secure, but it's never been as bad as it is now. We have thousands of people coming in through the border. We have hundreds of thousands already here, and many of them are not just South American. Let me just, you know, make sure you're aware of that. There are some from China, many from the Middle East, and they all come through the open border. Where are they? No idea. Many of them have criminal histories. They've been caught and deported and caught again and deported and caught. It's just... Oh, the only thing I can say at this point, seriously, to everyone listening, if you have kids, talk to them. Find out what they're going through. You know, be involved in their lives. Stock up on food and all that. I'm not trying to scare you, but we are headed for some dark times, and it's only February. Election is in November. We're only in February. We have 9 months of fun ahead of us. And if you're able to buy defense for your home, you guys know what I'm talking about. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Get that and the ammo that goes with it. Oh, I wanted to add this to two quick stories. Gina Carano sues Disney. So if you guys have seen The Mandalorian, I don't recall the name of her character. But she was liked. From what I read, she was liked. She was fired for some statements she made during the whole vaccination thing that she doesn't believe it should be forced on people. She was told to put her pronouns in her Twitter bio, and she thought that was ridiculous. So she put her pronouns as beep, bop, boop. And she got fired for that. And yeah, she got fired by Disney. And when she was speaking out, and she was just saying her point of view, she was accused of putting out social media posts that are denigrating people based upon their cultural and religious identities. I haven't seen that. Lucasfilm was the one that called her out on this. You know, wonderful Kathleen Kennedy. And they defamed her. This is defamation. And discrimination, and what is that? Termination. Terminated without justification. So she has a solid case. So Elon Musk is fronting her legal bills, and we'll see what happens. This broke only a few days ago, this story, so. I'm all for it. I like Gina Carano because she was a UFC fighter before she was an actress, and she was badass. One of my favorites. Oh my goodness. Like, you guys can have Ronda Rousey. No, Gina Carano's my chick. I'm big into UFC, if you guys don't know. But anyways, we'll keep tabs on this, because this is amazing. That's amazing. Like, Disney is tanking left and right. Not only are they producing shitty movies, but they're upholding shitty people while tanking anyone who has a dissenting opinion. And now we found out that, you know, the vaccines were bullshit. We found out that the masks were bullshit, that the Wuhan lab leak was real. And now the whole transgender thing, bullshit. So, hey, people are waking up. This year is turning out pretty fucking fun, if you ask me. All right, last story. I don't know if you guys have seen all the issues with the planes lately. The doors popping off mid-flight and pushing for DEI pilots. And, you know, people are now worried if they see female pilots. I get it. I get it. It's wild. Let's see. A source notes that Delta routinely makes exceptions for trans-identifying pilots concerning grooming and behavioral standards. Oh, that's nice. Delta's turning a blind eye. And Delta has even published a lengthy guide for pilots who believe they were born in the wrong body. Okay. A whistleblower says a pilot, he confirmed that he works at Delta, says that Delta recently promoted a trans-identifying pilot who had repeatedly received bad reviews from captains, and that he would likely not have survived the probation period. You know, when they hire you and they're like, all right, we're going to keep an eye on you for 90 days, and if you perform well, you get to keep your job and get full benefits. If you perform badly, you're out. Probation, right? He would likely not have survived their probation period if he weren't trans. Whatever happened to putting the best fit for the job? Not based on color, okay? Not race, ethnicity, gender. Those are all discriminating factors. We have civil rights laws against this. And it's not just discrimination, like, you can't take this job because you're whatever. It's like, it's discrimination on both ends. You can't put up a job posting and put whites only apply, right? Because you're excluding everyone else. This fucking ridiculous. Source also says we have affirmation groups, protections, and heritage months for every single type of person except for white men. So they're pushing out the previously qualified pilots who were not hired because they're white. They were hired because they went through the rigorous training and can land the plane. When was the last time, besides last 2 years, okay? When in the past 10 years have we had so many airplane malfunctions? We're having them back to back to back. I'm worried. Like, I don't even want to fly commercial anymore. And okay, and then here's another thing. Delta is also taking into account a percentage of risk with the DEI, the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Initiative, an allowable percentage of risk. That means that they are allowing a certain quota of mistakes. They expect there to be a certain quota of mistakes with this new program rolling in. You know what that quota should be? Zero. Zero mistakes when you're taking people up in the air in a fucking tin can and shuttling them from place to place at breakneck speeds. It should be zero. But here it's saying that there are 5 near misses a week. 5 problems that they're catching that could have been really fucking bad if they didn't catch. I don't know what the quota is for the allowable risk or the allowable fuck-ups, but that's terrifying. Incredibly terrifying. I'm my knuckles are white. I'm like gripping my pen. Just, what the fuck? What the fuck? It makes you not want to fly anywhere, ever. Like, fuck it, I will drive. I will go by boat, or I will get a private plane. It's a bit more pricey, but you know, you decide how much your life is worth, or the lives of your family, when you all try to get on a plane together that's being flown by one of these people that they just shuffled up the ladder because of what they identify as, or what they were born as, not their credentials, not their experience. You do that. Anyways, That was all for me today. I will do my best to issue a couple more episodes. Please check out the comics podcast if you want to hear more of me and DJ and the rest of the gang. And that's all I got for now. This was Ain't That Some Shit with Emma. Over and out.
Hey everyone, I'm Garrett from Comics Podcast. Be sure to check out our stop motion animation on our YouTube channel, DJ Hatter Comics and Movies, where the stories are inspired by comic book characters such as Batman, Spider-Man, Star Wars characters, and more. Be sure to like the channel and subscribe. Also, make sure to hit the notification bell to keep up with the newest episodes. See you there.
Thank you.